continuing with Hilchos Nida. So we're going to start, in a sense, a new topic of Hilchos Nida today. A topic that one would have thought really should have been the first shiur. It's really just to define min haTorah, what exactly a Nida is, what exactly a Zava is, what a woman has to wait one day, what a woman has to wait 7 days, what a woman has to wait Shivin Akiyim. So why did I wait 6 months to talk about it? So you can't blame it on me, you have to blame it on the Tanoim and on the Amoraim. Because this sugya appears in the last daf of Maseches Nida. For some strange reason, when they were Masada and Masechta, it took them 75 dafim to get to the sugya. But that's where it appears. So we're doing better. We're only halfway through Hilchos Nida. Not even halfway through Hilchos Nida. So we're going to talk a little bit about it now. But it's really, in a sense, the ABCs of Torah. The reason why it's not as critical, and probably why the Amorai pshtupt at the end of the Masechta, is because we'll get to it. As we continue in the sugya, we'll realize that although it's very important in Torah, Midirabban, it doesn't make that much of a difference. Because Midirabban, any time a woman has any dam, she basically has to wait Shivin Akiyim. She basically becomes the most strict of all the categories. But in order to understand how Hilchos Nida is practiced today, so we need to understand what the ABCs are in the Torah. So it all begins in Parashas Metzora, where the Torah gives us really two different parashios in terms of a woman having a Riyaz Dam. So one parasha is the Torah describes a woman having a Riyaz Dam be'es nidasa. Es nidasa means a normal time, a normal period, a regular time in her cycle of the month. No big great surprises. So that's called Zman Nida. Then the Torah speaks about a different scenario, a woman who has her ears down below Es Nidasa, at a time which is a little bit of a surprise, at a time when we're not really expecting it. She already had a period this month, and all of a sudden she starts to bleed for a couple of days. That's called the Nida below Es Nidasa. So the halacha is that she can become Asura, either one, no question about it, in HaTorah, she'll become Asura with an Issacharis and the works, either time of the month. And providing that all the other criteria are met, it was a hargosha in a Torah, and it's a red colored blood, and everything else, and it's not coming from a makkah. Assuming that everything we've been talking about for the last 6 months, all those conditions have been met, the Torah draws a basic distinction between be'es nidasa versus shelo be'es nidasa. So the question is, what does this mean, and how does this play out? Lamaisa. So comes the Torah and says, if a woman has her ears down be'es nidasa at a normal time of her cycle, so then the halacha says shivas yom tiyem nidasa. So in the Torah, she is asura for 7 days. Let's say for argument's sake, she gets a period today. Let's say she's expecting a period today, so it comes today. So you count Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. That's it. Shivas yom tiyem nidasa. Whether she's bleeding Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, she can be bleeding the whole week. It doesn't matter. They've come Shabbos afternoon, and she realizes the bleeding stopped. So then Motzai Shabbos, she goes to the mikvah, and that's it. Exactly what it says in the Chumash: shivas yom tiyem nidasa. And then she goes to the mikveh at night. She goes to the mikveh dafka at night. And then at that point she becomes tahora. The concept of 7 clean days of Shivin Akiyim, the concept of bedikas, of counting, this doesn't exist. That whole concept of counting clean days and checking and making sure the bleeding is stopped does not exist when you're dealing with the need of the Eis Nidasa. The Shivas Yom Tiyam Nidasa Ben Roa Ben She'en Roa. That's one parasha in the Torah. Then the Torah gives us another parasha called below Eis Nidasa, which we call Zava. What exactly does a Zava mean? So here, the Torah Shabbat Pet fills in a little bit of the details. You read the Pesuch Mechumash, you don't figure the whole story out. Pshut Hashem Mikra, but comes the halacha Moshe Messina and tells us as follows, that if it's shelo be'es nidasa, so then there are very, very different halachas. There are chumras and there are kulas. If a woman has a re'iyas dam, shelo be'es nidasa, assuming that had hargosh, and it's red, and it's lamak, assuming everything that we've said for the last 6 months, she gets a re'iyas dam. If it's a one-day re'iyah, all of a sudden, today is below es nidasa, all of a sudden, boom, she gets a re'iyas dam. She sees a little bit of blood today. So if it would have been a nida of be'es nidasa, normal nida, she would have had to wait for 7 days, no matter how many days she bled. Here the Torah says, no, she doesn't have to wait for 7 days. She has to wait for 1 day. She has what's called a Zava Ketana, or there's a synonym for Zava Ketana called a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Why is she called a Zava Ketana? Obviously, Zava means the flow. Ketana means it's a little flow. So it's only 1 day worth of a flow. Why is she called the Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom? Because she has to wait 1 day that's clean. Let's see, if she saw blood a little bit today, so then tomorrow she has to check herself, make sure that the bleeding is stopped, and then technically she can go to the mikveh. She can even technically, min haTorah, go to the mikveh tomorrow in the daytime. She doesn't have to wait till the end of the day tomorrow. Mikseh Yom Kekulo. She goes to the mikveh tomorrow and she's muteres. That's called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. That's a din min haTorah. That she saw blood today, it's below Es Nidasa. She goes to the mikveh, she checks herself tomorrow morning, she goes to the mikveh, and sure, that's it. It's over. What if instead of having no blood tomorrow, Shitaka sees blood again tomorrow, so she saw blood today, and then she sees blood again tomorrow, then she has to once again be a Shomeris Yom Kineged Yom. She has to wait one clean day on Tuesday. Some people think she has to wait two clean days because she saw 2 days. That's wrong. She has to wait one clean day corresponding to the 2 days that she saw. She's a Shomeris Yom Kineged Yom, so to speak. She's a Shomeris Yom Kineged Yom. So she waits Tuesday, she checks herself Tuesday, she goes to the mikveh Tuesday morning, and then she's mutaris labayla. Finished, that's the dimin haTorah. So either she saw blood for 1 day, she goes to the mikveh the next day, she saw blood for 2 days, she goes to the mikveh the next day, and finished. What if she sees blood 3 days in this time of below Estidos, at the wrong time in the sense of the month, an unexpected time of the month? She sees blood for 3 days, now what happens? Now we get problems. Now she's what's called a Zovah Gedola. The Torah says, V'ishaki sazuv zov dama yomim rabim. So yomim is shnayim, rabim is three. Below Estidosa. So now we got a whole new story. Now the Torah says, the Pashas Mitzora, such a woman who became a Zovah Gedola, because she saw blood 3 days, according to Tosis proves in the Gemara that those 3 days have to be consecutive days. Rav Sadi quotes, Tosis quotes from Rav Sadigon, very unlike Tosis. Tosis quotes a tradition from Rav Sadigon that the 3 days don't have to be consecutive, and Tosis shows it's not true. It's referring to the Gemara, not true. So it has to be 3 days in a row. If she sees 3 days in a row below Esti Dalsa, in a sense the wrong time of the month, then she becomes a Zova Gedola. And now we got a big Bichomer. Comes to her and says, V'safra lo shivas yamim yachatitar. That's the first place in the Chumash of Ashes Netzorah that the concept of Shiva Nekiyim appears. It's the first and last time that Shiva Nekiyim appears. The Torah is, well, except for Zavra, okay, so Zavra. A Zava Gedola, a woman who saw 3 days in a row, like Tais was at the time of below Es Nidasa, so she is required now, she's got to wait for 7 days, she's got 7 clean days, and she's got to check herself during those clean days, make sure they're Nekiyim, you know? And if all those 7 days pass being clean, then and only then she goes to the mikvah. So if you'd ask yourself a question, is a Nida more chomer than a Zava, or is a Zava more chomer than a Nida? It depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about the initial Riyaz Dam, so a Nida is much more chomer than a Zava, because a Nida needs Shivas Yom Tiyam Nidasa, whether one drop of blood or a week of blood, doesn't matter. So a Nida has a certain chomer that a Zava doesn't have, whereas a Zava has a certain chomer that a Nida doesn't have. A Zava can potentially require Shiva Nekiyim, whereas a Nida, the concept of Shiva Nekiyim doesn't exist in the Torah. How exactly do you know which days you're in? How do you know whether this is Be'es Nidasa or Shalom Be'es Nidasa? So here comes the Gemara at the end of Maseches Nidin, tells us there was a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai called the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nidal Anida. That there was a tradition given down to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ishmer Piyishan Moshe Rabbeinu. According to some, it actually appears in the Pesukim Ochlegis Tanoim. Is it pure halacha l'Moshe Mesinai or Rabbi Akiva? So figured it out from the Pesukim also. You have to be Rabbi Akiva to see in the Pesukim with a vav, with a nes, with a mayah. The whole story, the last Sugim Maseches Nida. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, forget the Psukim, the drushes, you can't figure out anything with the Psukim. It's pure halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. That the difference between Nida and Zava is what's called the Yud Aleph Yom Shem Nidal Anida. What exactly does that mean? What practically the Yud Aleph Yom Shem Nidal Anida mean? So it's clear from the Gemara that there are two different counts that are taking place in a woman's cycle. There are the Shivas Yomim of Yomei Nida, and then there are the Yud Aleph Yom, Keneged Yom, which are the potential days of Yomei Ziva. Any time during the first 7 is called Nida. Any time potentially after the 7, for the next 11 days, that's called Yomei Zava. So a good way to remember this, in case anyone's interested, remember 7-11. So just think of 7-11, that's the way to remember it. That's exactly what it is. 7 days of Nida, and Yud Aleph Yom, the 11 days, potentially, of Zava. So what does it mean? What do the numbers mean, Lamaisa? So there's a big, big machlekes rishonim. It's not relevant for us, Lamaisa, because at the end of the day, we'll see as we go on, why Lamaisa, these calculations don't really mean too much for us. But it's a big, big machlekes rishonim. We'll leave out the details of it right now between the Rambam and the Ramban. Just how exactly the 7-11 calculates. According to the Rambam, basically in a nutshell, according to the Rambam, the 7-11 begins from the time the girl gets her first period. So she's 12 years old, she gets her first period. So boom, she takes the calendar, she starts writing down, for the next 7 days, I could potentially be a Nida. Then for the next 11 days, I could potentially be a Zava. Then for the next 7 days, I can potentially be a Nida. For the next 11 days, I can potentially be a Zava. She writes that calendar, I'd be as Grail, or until one of two things happens. Until she gets a Vesas Kavua, she gets a real set period, set in stone, which we haven't even begun to discuss yet. We'll talk about that hopefully in weeks and months to come, when she gets a set period, so then that changes her halachic 7-11 calendar, or if she has a baby. If she has a baby, then everything changes, then it all starts all over again. So according to the Rambam, the first moment, the very first period, sets the whole calendar enrolling in motion for a significant amount of time. And the Ramban, and probably most of the Rishonim, say, L'hoyu dvar me'olam, it's not true, that the calendar starts, every month it starts again. She gets a period, so she counts 7 days. Then after those 7 days are over, then she's in the 11 days of Benidl and Nida. If she gets blood during those 3 days, then she could potentially be a Zava, Zavaktana, Zavakadola. After those 11 days pass, there's a blank space. Nothing happens until she gets her next period. When she gets her next period, 2 weeks later, a week and a half later, 2 weeks later, whenever it is, then the 7 days start over again, then the 11 days start over again, then there's again a blank space. And it's like, keeps on mechadesh b'tuvah b'choyim dovah masavesh. According to the Ramban, every month it starts all over again to count. According to the Ramban, it's an adbias goel count. According to the Ramban, it's a monthly count. No, whatever happened before is meaningless. It means from the first halachic reis nidus that she gets.
Oh, so, or let's say she loses count, or she didn't know what she was doing, whatever.
Well, she got a big problem. We're gonna get to those women in a second. We're gonna get to that confusion in a second. So anyway, this is the background. Min haTorah. This is what Hilchos Nida looked like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what Hilchos Nida looked like during the times of Bais Rishon. This is what Hilchos Nida looked like throughout the period of Bais Sheni also. Until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Came along, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is already post Churban. It's already in the times of the Tkufas HaMishnah. Comes the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida and tells us Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was watching what was going on. And he, as Elchanan is describing so eloquently, people were getting very, very confused. It's very, very hard. You have to remember, am I in day 7? Am I in day 11? Am I in day 11? Am I in day 7? You have to decide, do you follow the Rambam? The Rambam says, it gets very, very confusing. So sometimes you have a tremendous, tremendous mikshal. If a woman has a riyas dam, she thinks she's in the days of Nida, so she's not in the mindset of Shiva Nikiyam, and she goop, she made a mistake, and she's really talking the days of Zava, and if she doesn't count Shiva Nikiyam, no small, just a small technical problem. If she goes to the mikveh without counting Shiva Nikiyam, she's chayv karis. Okay, small little complication, or vice versa. She thinks she's in the days of the Yad Aleph Yom, she made a wrong count from last month. She thinks she's up to day 8, and she's really up to day 7, whatever it is. So she thinks she's in the Yud Aleph Yom Shemini Lanida. So she sees Arias down for 1 day, so she laughs it off and says, nah, big deal, just wait 1 day, Shemir Shem Kribi Yom, it'll be fine. Little does she know that her calculations were off, and she's really potentially in Nida, and Shiva's Yom Tiyam Nidasa. So she went to the mikveh 6 days too early. So small technicality, she's got courage for that. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi saw that this is just, it can't go on like this. There was too much confusion. Imagine it's post-Churban, a lot of problems in Klai Yisrael. It was becoming very, very difficult for the women to be keeping these calendars properly. So basically, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi did was as follows. He wanted to make life a little easier for people. Sometimes you try to make it easier for people, it becomes more chomer in terms of halacha, but it makes it easier in terms of calculations. Basically, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi said is as follows, that we're going to give people, in a sense, the worst of both worlds. We're going to be the chumras of both. Anytime a woman has a riyas dam, we're going to take all possibilities into consideration. We're going to assume that the woman doesn't know what she's up to in her cycle. So she has a riyas dam. Let's say, for argument's sake, comes a Sunday morning, she has a riyas dam. What's the worst possible scenario that could be true if a woman has one, she bleeds for 1 day today, a couple of hours, she's bleeding with argosha, it's red, no matter, she's bleeding today. What could be the worst possible scenario? It could be one of two things. Either she's a nida, or she's a zavaktana. So if she's a zavaktana, it would be enough for her to wait 1 day. But maybe she's a nida, so she's got to wait shivas yom. So if she sees down for 1 day, she's got to wait shivas yom. Does it make any sense whatsoever to wait shiva nikiyam? It makes zero sense. Absolutely no sense. There's no way in the world, min haTorah, for a woman to have to ever wait shiva nikiyam because she saw blood for 1 day. It's an impossibility because mamon b'shach, either she's a nida or she's a zava. If she's a nida, it's shivas yamim without shiva nikiyam. If she's a zava, then it's only yom echad. She's only shemer yom kineged yom. So it is impossible to insist on shiva nikiyam for a 1 day riyas dam. So Rabbi Danasi said, we're not going to insist on shiva nikiyam. That's absurd. That's contradictory. But we're going to insist on the worst, even though you think you're a Zava today, and you think you're going to the mikveh today, no, Shiva's Yom Tiyam Nidah, so you have to wait 7 days. Not clean days, but 7 days. The same woman bleeds again tomorrow, Monday. So she bled already Sunday, she bled already Monday. So what are we going to tell her? So the same pismah, the same story. We're going to say to her, maybe you're a Nidah, maybe you're a Zava. So we're going to make you wait 1 day of Nikiyam, for Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom, but more important, we're going to make you wait Shiva's Yom Tiyam Nidah, so we're going to make you wait a whole week. So far, so good. Now she sees 3 days in a row. So she saw blood on Sunday, she saw blood on Monday, she saw blood on Tuesday. So now comes the Rebbe and says, oh, now we're Achan Veh. Up until now, we were saying it's much more chomer to be a nida than to be a zava. Now we turn the tables on you. We say, now, wait a second, you just saw 3 days in a row. Now it's much more chomer to be labeled as a zava rather than a nida. Because if you would have just been a nida, we would have said, great, just continue to count a few more days and go to the mikveh. You don't have to have shivanikim. No need for shivanikim. But now we're afraid that maybe you're a zava. So now you have all the problems in the world. Now you need shivas yamim of shivanikim. Safrala shivas yam v'achatitar. Days of shivanikim. Now you have to wait 7 clean days. That was the takana of Rabbi Danasi. Gemara says, yeah, the nida hiski Rabbi Danasi besadis. Rabbi Dan made this takana, and that's the din. That's the din with the Rabbanan. That if you see 1 day, so then you have to wait potentially just shivas yamim without shivanikim. You see 2 days, then you have to wait shivas yam without shivanikim. You see 3 days, then and only then do you have to wait shivanikim. That was the takana of Rabbi Danasi. And if you think about it logically, conceptually, you're covered on all bases. Nothing could ever go wrong with the takana of Rabbi Danasi. It's impossible for anything to go wrong. You're either a nida, either a zava. So we gave you the chumras possible above. So if life would have ended at that point, that would have been the end of a chusnida for us. Comes the Gemara and says that wasn't enough. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Zeira, the famous statement of Rabbi Zeira, V'nois Yisrael hechmiro atzman, shafilu roos tipas dam kichardol yosh lalash ibnikim. That the Benos Yisrael, the Jewish women, said this takon of Rabbi Danasi wasn't enough. It was still confusing. It was still complicated. It was all, remember, 1 day, 2 days, there. The Benos Yisrael accepted upon themselves the following chumrah, that afilu ros tipas dam kichardol. Even if they see the smallest amount of blood, kichardol means literally a mustard seed. We spoke about this when we spoke about the colors. There was some Rishon Rabbi Yonah writes, it means that the chumrah was, if they see yellow blood, they're accepted as a chumrah. We don't pass that way. We pass it, it means not the color of the mustard seed, but rather the size of the mustard seed. Maybe it's a tiny amount. It's not much, a little drop. It's enough. It came out of nothing. And it's only 1 day. 1 minute, the woman has a riyaz dam. So she has one riyaz dam with her gosha or a petite cloth, whatever it is. 1 minute riyaz dam. So if you'd ask me, yes, if you would have asked Rabbi Danasi, Rabbi Danasi would have said, what's the big deal? Said you have 1 day of dam, so count 7 days, not 7 clean days. Shivas yom tiyam nidah. So that's it. It makes no sense to count shivas yomim of shivin nikiyim for 1 day riyah. Came to Benos Yisrael and outdid Rabbi Danasi. Came to Benos Yisrael and said, you have to wait shivanikiyim for 1 day re'iyah, which Minat Torah is mutually exclusive. It's contradictory. Minat Torah makes no sense. That's the din. That was the Benos Yisrael Chmir Atzman to make life easier for everybody. That way, a woman gets into the mindset: I saw blood, shivanikiyim. I saw blood, shivanikiyim. She doesn't have to check. I saw blood. Let's see. Was it Be'ez Nidosa? Was it Shalai Be'ez Nidosa? Am I a Nida? Am I a Zav? Is it a Katana? I have to go learn all the Sechas Nida, 75 blot to figure out what I am, where I am, where I am. Translate, bottom line. Bottom line is, this is what it says in your Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is what your Kabbalah teacher gives you. One piece of paper that says, see, blood equals Shivanikim. That's it. That was the statement the Rabbi Zeira records in Masechus Brachos, in Masechus Nida, in several other places. It's this statement of Rabbi Zeira that ultimately plays out in Chos Nida B'Zman Hazeh. This is the Maisa, as we all know, that the Din D'Araisa that we just spoke about, that's over bottle already. The Din of the Takon of Rabbi Danasi, that's also not bottle, but it's not meaningful anymore. The halacha that encompasses everything, the way Chos Nida has been practiced, at least for the last 1800 years, is B'Nos Yisrael Achmir L'Atzman Afilu Rosti B'Zdam Kichadu. So we have to now analyze Rabbi Zeira's statement, because if this is really what's binding B'Zman Hazeh, this is really the ABCs of Chos Nida in the year 2010, so we have to understand what exactly Rabbi Zeira said and just how far Rabbi Zeira went. So there is a basic question in terms of what's the tokif in halacha of Rabbi Zeira's statement. What exactly is the halachic force of this statement of Rabbi Zeira? Very, very strange statement. B'nois Yisrael hechmir al atzman. So that's usually not the lashon that we associate with takanas hachamim. When it comes to Rabbi Danasi's halacha, the Gemara says, tiken Rabbi Danasi. Rabbi Danasi made a din derabanan. We know it's not the only din derabanan that we have in the books. Bishalakam is derabanan, and Muktz is derabanan, and Neris Chanuk is derabanan, and Kriyas HaMegillah is derabanan. We have a lot of dinim, which are dinim derabanan. So when the Gemara describes Rabbi Danasi's takana, the original takana, that was tiken Rabbi Danasi besadis. But when it comes to Rabbi Zeira, the Gemara uses a very, very modern lashon, very different lashon. But now he says, the Gemara even has a little bit of a mashmals in Maseches Nida, that this has the tokif more of a minug than of a halacha. This was a minug of the Bnei Yisrael, which one has to observe, one is supposed to observe in Rabbim also. But this has the status of a minug of a Bnei Yisrael, rather than absolute ironclad halacha. That's a simple reading of the Gemara in the end of Maseches Nida. And there are some Rishonim who seem to say that. There are some Rishonim, the Rash, but seems to say that this ultimate chumrah of the Benos Yisrael to insist on Shiva Nikiyim every single time under the sun, that may have more of a tokof of a minig than of an actual takonah. And there are other Rishonim who don't say that. The other Rishonim who say that although the Gemara reports this as the Benos Yisrael Achmir Latzma, what that means is as follows. That means this started as a minig. You know, it came, the initiative for this came from the Benos Yisrael. The Benos Yisrael had Tznuels, the from Jewish women who didn't want to be Nichshol Chalil and Nechos Nida. So they accepted upon themselves this Chumrah, which is above and beyond, not only above and beyond the call of duty Min HaTorah, it's even above and beyond the call of duty Min HaRabbanan. They accepted upon themselves this Chumrah, and it started as a grassroots movement. It started as a, from the Am. It started out from the people. But the Chachamim saw this. Rabbi Zeira saw this. The Amoraim saw this. Said, this is a great idea. This is not a silly Chumrah. This is something that should not be discouraged. It should be encouraged. Not only should it be encouraged, but Chazal actually incorporated this and said, they got this one right, the Benos Yisrael. Let's make it Takanas Chachamim to enforce this, to transform this out of the realm of a minug into the realm of halacha. That's what the Ritva writes. That it may have started as a chumrah, may have started as a minug, but now it has the status of a full-fledged Takanas Chachamim. It's like Moshe Lamar Devadom. Sometimes you have the situation where something may start as a minug, but once the minug is accepted and Chazal approve of the minhag, so then the Chachamim take it to the next step and they actually formalize it with an official Moshe Beis, an official vote in Beis, then it becomes a din derabban rather than just a minhag. A possible example of this, you have a similar type of halacha when it comes to Yontif Sheni. The Gemara has it in Maseches Beitza, a famous discussion beginning in Maseches Beitza about the status of Yontif Sheni b'zman hazeh. Not from Bnei Chutzlo, it's not, it's regular, normal. Bnei Chutzlo, it's living in Bergenfield. In Bergenfield for Yontif. What's the din? So do you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni or not? So the Gemara raises the question, whether you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh, because we have a calendar that's set. Hilal Sheni already set up the calendar. We know what the Kriya Diyarach is. We know exactly, everybody knows Rosh Chodesh Nisan was this past Tuesday. It's no great secret anymore. So we know that the first day of Pesach is going to be on Tuesday. There's no, nobody really thinks the test of Nisan is going to be Wednesday. So you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni or not. So some people, like Abdullah, in the days of early reform. So one of the reforms that they wanted to make was to get rid of Yom Tov Sheni. So they discovered America. They discovered, well, what an unbelievable chiddush. Maybe we should do away with Yom Tov Sheni because the reason doesn't apply anymore. So it's like somebody discovered that in the 1800s in Germany. The Amoraim in the 3rd century already discussed that issue. The Amoraim asked the question. They said, it's no longer relevant for us, Yom Tov Sheni. The whole reason for the Yom Tov Sheni doesn't apply anymore. The whole thing was because of the Sfeik of the Yom. We don't have a Sfeik, but we know exactly where Chodesh is. So why do we have to observe Yom Tov Sheni? So the Gemara asked the question. The Gemara gives the answer. So the Gemara says, no, Shalcha Mitam, they sent the message to Eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Bavel sent the Shiloh to the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. What should the din be? Should we continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni or not? And the Gemara says, Shalcha Mitam, they were given an answer in response. Hizaru b'minig ha-vaseichem. You have to continue the minig, you have to continue observing Yom Tov Sheni, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore. So what does that mean, Hizaru b'minig ha-vaseichem? So the Ran of Masechah Sukkah writes, what that means is as follows, is that the truth is that really Yom Tov Sheni shouldn't really apply. The real reason for Yom Tov Sheni, Takma doesn't apply anymore. But the minig Yisrael was to continue it. So when the Chachamim saw this minig, and the Chachamim saw that it was a good idea, that it makes sense, for whatever cheshbonis they had, that a Takma makes sense to observe Yom Tov Sheni, so the Chachamim made a takon, an official takon as Chachamim, to observe Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh. That it's no longer a minig. The fact that we observe Yom Tov Sheni today, the Ran writes, it's not a minig. It's not that it's a nice thing we're doing, we're being makabel upon ourselves, a minig. No. It started out as a grassroots. It started out, the ikra didn't really, shouldn't apply, but Klal Yisrael kept it up, and the Chachamim Shabbil Sador said, you know what? It's good that they're keeping it up, and it's a good idea. Which whatever cheshbonis, the Gemara explains what they had, maybe Shem Yachzodov Lekukulcham, whatever the cheshbonis were, the Chachamim officially made it a takana called Yom Tov Sheni. So the Ran writes, when we observe Yom Tov Sheni today, isn't that like a voluntary? It's not a minhag Yisrael to observe Yom Tov Sheni. It's a din midrabanan. It's a real bona fide din that you have to observe Yom Tov Sheni. And Tosfos doesn't sound the way. Tosfos sounds like it's that the koach, the tokef of observing Yom Tov Sheni b'zman hazeh is takabila b'zman hazeh. Torah's minik. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. That's what Torah's minik. It doesn't make a difference, the mice. You have to keep it anyway. You have to observe. There's a din you have to observe in Hagi Yisrael. So whether we're doing it in the halachic status of a minik or the halachic status of a din, there's a lot of lumdus to it, but in terms of the mice for us in Bergenfield, you have to do it anyway. No shal about it, you have to do it anyway. The chap, the nafkamina, ladina would probably be for a ben chutz laretz in Eretz Yisrael. Because the Mishnah says in Maseches Pesachim that when, in the realm of Minhagim, we have a rule that when a person goes from one place to another, knows them of Chumri HaMakom Shehalach Misham, the Chumri HaMakom Shebol Hasham. There's a din that'll say, if I come from America and I go to Eretz Yisrael, if I go to Eretz Yisrael and I move to Eretz Yisrael and I become a Ben Eretz Yisrael, then I'm not bound by the Minhagim of America. Then I become a Ben Eretz Yisrael, Ben L'Chumri, Ben L'Kula. But if I'm visiting Eretz Yisrael, the mission, first mission in 4th Perek HaPesachim says that Legabi Malacha, we spoke about yesterday in Shul, that Malacha never Pesach in the morning. So the Mishnah says, if you have a place where some places they do Malacha in the morning and other places they don't, so if a person lives in a place where they do Malacha, you're allowed to do Malacha. You live in a place where they don't do Malacha, you're not allowed to do Malacha. The Halacha requires you to follow them in Hagi HaMakom. So then the Mishnah says, what if you're traveling, you're visiting from one place to another? So the Mishnah says that then no similar of Chumri HaMakom Shehalach L'Sham and Chumri HaMakom Sheyotz L'Sham. Then you have to take the Chumris of both places, the place where you left and the place where you get to, unless you decide to actually move to a new place, then your previous Menachem become Batel. So if you follow that Mishnah, and you assume that Yantav Sheni today has the status of a Minog, so then if you're a Ben Chutzlar, it's going to Eretz Yisrael, if you move to Eretz Yisrael, they keep one day. But if you're just visiting and you're coming back 2 weeks later, so then no similar of Chumri HaMakom Shehalach L'Sham and Chumri HaMakom Sheyotz L'Sham. So then you have to follow the Chumras in both places. What's the Chumra? The Chumra is to observe Yantav. The Chumra is to refrain from Halacha. So therefore, if you plug in the Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim and assume like Yantav Sheni basically Bizman Azez B'Taras Minog, so then there's no question whatsoever. Of course you're bound by the Minhagim of the place that you left based on the din of Chumri HaMakom Sheyotz L'Sham. Achon, you'll appreciate this because that's to do with Ken Biyam, my son is coming back today. So my first year, one of the years, I forgot which year, when I was in Kerbi Avna, so on second day of Shavuos, so all the Bnei Chutzlar at Pesach was given in Kerbi Avna, was it all the Bnei Chutzlar should observe Yontav Sheni, but Lamais Yeshiva was no, it was a regular day, regular Yisruchak. So we had our own minyan that morning, so normally Yeshiva minyan starts at 7 o'clock in the morning. On Shabbos, so the minyan usually starts, whenever there's Yom Kedusha Sayom, Nisam Malacha, so minyan would start at 7:30. So the Bnei Chutzlar, so we're going to have their own minyan, so they decided we're starting the minyan at 7:30, because it's Yontav for us. So it means one half hour less of Shia. That's basically what it meant. Considering the fact it was going to be a longer davening, it would have meant to half hour, a lot more, less time of Seder and Shia. So they decided we're starting the minyan at 7:30. So I disagreed. So nobody listened to me, but I disagreed. I said, no, we have to start at 7 o'clock. Why? I said, because the whole reason why we're keeping Yontav Sheni is because of Chumri HaMakom, Sheyotza Misham, but the same Mishnah says you have to accept the Chumri HaMakom, Shalach L'Sham also. So here, davening at 7 o'clock as the Chumri is. You have to get up early. So we're bound by the Chumri of observing Malacha and also davening at the earlier time. Needless to say, I was outvoted by the Shana Aleph Americans. They didn't like my lumdus, but that's a thing.
But isn't it talking to Sasha? The Chumras of one are coming to exclude the other.
So you have to take the chumras, right? We're very, very machmer, right? Very, very religious people. We have to take the chumras of everything. That's what the Mishnah says. You have to take the chumras. That's what minhag hamakom. The hilchos minhagim requires that.
So what's the nafkamina?
What do you mean, of what?
You're saying the nafkamina between whether you hold it's a minhag or whether it's a din d'rabbanan.
Oh, wait, hold on, But if you hold it's a din d'rabbanan, let's say you hold it's not a minhag, it's a din d'rabbanan. So then you can begin to discuss. Maybe you could argue, where was this din d'rabbanan instituted? So it's kind of sounds a little bit strange to say they instituted this din d'rabbanan in Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, and I said 99.9% of the people are not bound by Yontav Sheni. So one can begin to discuss the Chacham Tzvi Svar, the Chacham Tzvi as a Chiddush, that maybe this din d'rabbanan was only instituted in Chutz Laretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. So if you happen to be in Chutz Laretz, so then you're bound by this din d'rabbanan. If you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael, then you're not bound by this din d'rabbanan. Doesn't you can't say minhag hamakom? It's not a minhag halacha. The din of Chumri HaMakom Sheyotza Misham is a din that's when you're talking about minhagim. When you're talking about halacha, let's say the Moshe comes to Kriyas HaMegillah. So whichever place you are, if you're in a Ben, if you're in Yadalad, then you land Yadalad. You live in Tezvav, you live in Tezvav. You don't say, well, I'm going back to Tezvav tomorrow. So I'm going back tomorrow. But right now you're in Yadalad. So you don't say Minhagei HaMakom Sheyotza Misham. There are dinim derabbanan that apply in X, and there are dinim derabbanan that apply in Y. So you can begin to negotiate. According to Chacham Tzvi, you can begin to negotiate. I didn't say what the negotiations where they should lead you to. It seems, again, not do what needed, but it seems very clear that the minhag of Klal Yisrael, to use a coined phrase, the minhag of Klal Yisrael, it seems quite clear that the minhag for hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of years was to observe Yontav Sheni completely in Eretz Yisrael. when your Ben Chutz starts. There was never a shaila about it. And the Beis Yosef quotes that was the Midrash Yisrael at the time. When he lived there, he lived in Tzfat, and he said there used to be people who would come to visit Tzfat for Yom Kippur. People would come for, they didn't come for like a week like we do today. They would come for months on end. They would come visit the Kibbutz Tzadikim. They'd go to Yerushalayim. They'd come for a couple of months from Europe. People would come, in a life dream, they'd come spend a few months in Eretz Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef writes that the Minig was, they used to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. There was never any shaila about it. And that's what basically everybody said until the days of Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi was a Chiddush Gadol. He came up with this idea that maybe you don't have to observe Yom Tov Sheni if you're a Ben Chutzot, it happens to be an Eretz Yisrael. His Das Yochid was that you don't have to observe it. So somehow something changed in the last 50 years. That became somehow, whatever. We'll leave out the details as to why that changed. But I'm Avin Yovin, so the Minig Yisrael was for hundreds of thousands of years, I forget.
Was this chumrah that the Bnei Yisrael took upon themselves, was that only in Babel?
The Rebbe Zeir was in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, Rebbe Zeir was in both, actually. Rebbe Zeir, the person who records the statement, he originally started off in Babel, then he came to Eretz Yisrael.
So it was accepted?
Yeah, it was uniformly accepted, yeah. Uniform, no question about it, yeah.
If a Ben Eretz Yisrael comes here, he should be holding a full 2 days also?
No, so that's the strange thing, because the Gemara said the Farish not that way. Right, so that's, if it's based on Huchos Ben Hagim, so that's what we say as follows. That's what Lagabi Malach and Ochanami. The Gemara says that Lagabi Malach is not allowed to do Malacha. But Lagabi, his own davening, so then the Halach is, then the post can say that he daka davens like a Ben Eretz Yisrael. So in Ochanami, Lagabi Dvam Shem for Hesia, it's one way, and Lagabi Dvam Shem for Tzim, it's another way, right? Ochanami. And Malach is always treated as Farhesia. That's the most post can assume. That Malach is always Farhesia, even if it's in the privacy of your home, it's still called Farhesia. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to the story, back to Chasnida. So there's a shal in the Rishonim in Chasnida. What's the tokef? What exactly is the halacha category of Benos Yisrael? Is the Benos Yisrael a real din derabban, or is Benos Yisrael just the teres minig? Nafkamina. At the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, we're all observant. We're Hashem Tera Mitzvahs. We're going to keep it. Nafkamina is as follows: what if some unbelievable shas and chak comes up? That is there any room for discussion about this chumrah of Benos Yisrael? Is there any possibility to even dream, because man has had 2,000 years, 1,800 years after Rabbi Zeira, to think of possibly foregoing this Benos Yisrael under the following circumstances? So we know we have a rule in Huchos Ben Hagim that a minig is not binding in a situation of a tremendous shasat chach. Let's say the moshel, the poskim said about the minig of kitnias. So we're not allowed to eat kitnias on Pesach, it's a minig of Ashkenazi communities. So we know there was a famous psach of Rabbi Tzuchah Chanan in the 1800s. Because they didn't like that psach of Rizal Chan. There was a famine. There was no food in Europe 1 year. So Rizal Chan was matter to those communities. And Mamash had no food. They couldn't get potatoes, whatever it was. I don't know, Irish potato famine, whatever it was. He was matter to the kidneys on Pesach. When you have a situation with such a shasach, with Mamash nothing to eat, so then a minig was only instituted under normal circumstances. Well, I'll tell Mamash, Ramosha is a truva. The minig is a minig Yisrael to wear yarmulke. It's not a din, it's a minig Yisrael to wear yarmulke. The person has a situation, he's going to lose his job if he doesn't wear his yarmulke. So Ramosha writes, you're not mechuyev to lose your job to wear yarmulke. When you have something which is only a minig, it's not a din derabanan. So when you have a very, very big shasat chak, you're allowed to be makel in the minig. What would that look like in the following situation? Let's say you have a couple who's having trouble having children. And they do. They go for fertility workup. They find out. They come to the following conclusion: the reason why they're not having children, there's nothing wrong with either of them. Biologically, everybody's fine. It's what's called in the textbooks. There's an official medical term for it. It's called orthodox infertility. Orthodox infertility is a term that appears in secular textbooks. What it means is as follows: it means there's absolutely nothing wrong. But the problem is the woman's not going to the mikvah until after she ovulates. She has a very early cycle, and she ovulates on day 10 for argument's sake of a cycle. She's not going to the mikvah until day 13. So if you just do the math. Why isn't she getting to the mikvah till day 13? Because she's counting Shiv and Akim. It's Rabbi Zeir, it's the Benos Yisrael, who are causing all the extra week of waiting. Minat Torah, she doesn't have to wait that long. Minat Torah, she has to count Shiva's Yom Tiyan Abin Nidas and finish. It's the Chumrah of Benos Yisrael that added on a whole week to the Cheshbon. And it's that week that's causing her not to have children. Because Lamaisa, she doesn't get to the mikvah, she has to ovulate. Basic biology will teach us she will never become pregnant. So what do you do? So is there any way, can we say, Makom Puravu, the couple's never going to have children? So but Makom Puravu, can we be mad to the Benos Yisrael? Can we say that the Benos Yisrael, the Chumra of Rabbi Zeira doesn't apply for this particular couple? Do we have a right to say that or not? So this was a big shot in Europe. The Poskim in Europe already, when they realized this in Europe 100 years ago, this phenomena, so the Poskim already started to discuss it. So there was a tshuva that was written by one of the Gedolim in Europe. His name was the Galia Masechta. He was a Galtianic. He was Mekel. He said that if you have a situation, the doctors say that she cannot become pregnant under these circumstances, so forget Shiv and Akim. Let us go back to the Din Deraisa, go back to Pashas and Sarah. Shiv is Yom Tibri Nidasa, and that's it, finished. That was the cool of the guy in Masechta. So this was not accepted. All the later Paiskim disagreed with it. And Bizman is that we do not rely on this. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about this. Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about this. We do not practice this. Bizman is that we will not forego Shiva Nekiyam for the purposes, even for the purposes of having children. Baruch Hashem, the good news is that we have much better ways, Bizman is that, to do that. Baruch Hashem, the last couple of years, whatever it was. So what we do Bizman is that when you have this Orthodox infertility, we spoke about the tubes a little bit, that nobody does that anymore. Nobody, I think, ever did that. But what we do is very simple. Put the woman on medication. So you put her on Clomid, put her on some other, whatever, different kinds of drugs that patch around, play around with the cycle a little bit. So they're able to delay her ovulation a couple of days. So what used to be an unresolvable problem, so unless this woman's gonna have some mamash an esmin hashemayim, she's never gonna become pregnant. Every pregnancy is an esmin hashemayim, but I'm saying, if you don't do something lamalam and a tefas, she's never gonna become pregnant. Baruch Hashem, this man is there, we have a way to do it. So we play around with the cycle a little bit, rather than playing around with the shivanaki, and we're able to push off our ovulation a couple of days, rather than make her mikvah night come a little bit earlier. So Baruch Hashem, this man is there. If this is the problem, if this is the reason why the couple's not having children, this is the least of the problems. This is pretty simple to deal with. But 100 years ago in Europe, they didn't have that option medically. The question was, can we do away with the whole Shiva Nekiyam? Just stop, throw the whole thing out the window under the Rishas and Chach situations. So the guy in Masechta was making the most poskim of Machmer. L'chor, the issue was this very issue. If you hold this Petorus Minug, then you can negotiate a Minug. Like, was the kidneys, and people didn't have any food. So you can be Matra Minug to have children. Whereas if it's Mamash Adin Midraban, if it's Mamash written in stone, so you're not allowed to violate this Adiraban, even to have children. So you're not allowed to violate the Rabban to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. You're not allowed to violate the Rabban, just do a mitzvah. There is no such cloud. So to tell a couple to outright violate it in the Rabbanan would be basically impossible, even for Mokom Puruvu. So the consensus of the poskim seems to be that this is a real McCoy. This is a real Din Midrabbanan. That we have Rechumus Rebizera. It's here to stay, and that's the way it is.
You're saying that nobody ever gets that after? I thought people do. There have been exceptions to that case. Is that not true?
Of what? Of saying
they'll allow them to go early to mikvah in that situation.
Not to forego the Shiva Nekiyam. Sometimes we'll play a little bit with the 5 days of waiting before that. We'll talk. We didn't even get to the 5 days yet. Because that fifth day, especially, is only B'Torah's Chumrah, and sometimes we can play around a little bit with the earlier days also, possibly. But to knock off the chunk of Shiva Nekiyam, which will make all the difference in the room. So the Shiva Nekiyam, so that's pretty much not negotiable with Zman Hazeh. So hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, probably next week, we'll have Pesach Shir afterwards. So we'll talk about, just to give you something to think about, we'll talk about the following Shiloh. What if a couple comes to you with the following Shiloh? Can tell how many couples have come this way. Comes with Fon Shah, listen, Rabbi, we're not that observant. We're not going to keep Taz Mishpach. Let's be real. We're not going to keep Taz Mishpach. But we heard about this thing called Shiva's Yom Tiyamini Dosa, that there's something according to the Bible, it's 7 days, and you know the rest is somehow, we'll negotiate. We'll keep the Diraisas. Don't bother us with the Rabbanans. So what's the rabbi's approach supposed to be? Are we supposed to say, but no, Yisrael, I'm not talking to you. I don't want to hear about it. I'm not negotiating with you. Or do you say, listen, right now, let me save you in Issacharis. Let me help you and assist you not to violate Issacharis. Hopefully, we'll get you to the point where you'll keep what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So, what's the role of the Rav supposed to be in those circumstances? Hopefully, I'll give you 3 weeks to think about that. It's a loaded, loaded, loaded Shaila. Hopefully, that's the Pesach stuff. And then